Grace to you and welcome to the DDP for the 16th of January. We're in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. And then new sentence, same verse, I speak this to your shame. We've dealt with the first sentence over the last few days. I'd like to deal with the last sentence, I speak this to your shame. This is the second time in the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul uses the phrase, I speak this to your shame. The other time is in 1 Corinthians 6:5. We're going to read that and its context in a moment. I want to point out as well that the Greek word that Paul uses for shame is the word entrope. Entrope appears only two times in the New Testament, both times here in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 15. So it's a word that does appear in the book of Psalms in the Septuagint, and it is shame and confusion. So we're not off at all. The English translation of the word is pretty solid. It's shame. And Paul, there's no two ways about it. Paul is speaking a statement meant to bring shame to his audience. I think where this can get a little confusing for us is that we often consider shame as guilt or shame as condemnation. And I don't think we need to take it to the nth degree. If I'm ashamed of something that I've done, I don't necessarily walk around in condemnation. They can go hand in hand. They don't necessarily go hand in hand. I may be ashamed of what I've done, but realize I'm not condemned in it and be able to move forward. The condemnation I can't use for my good. All it will do is tie me down. The shame I can use for my good. The shame is what keeps me from doing it again. You could say this, I think it's okay to feel shame under grace. It's not okay to experience condemnation. Condemnation declares you guilty, and thus you must deal with your guilt. That's anti-gospel. You're not guilty. Shame is what you feel that makes you not want to do things again. And so if I do something and realize, man, that's below my standard, I'm ashamed of myself, that shame causes me to go, okay, I should probably take inventory of that. Let's find out why that happened. Then I can go back to the earlier part of verse 34 and wake up to my righteousness. So, Corinth, you should be ashamed of yourself that you've fallen asleep on this. That's fine. Just don't take it to the farthest stretch of what we do with shame and say, hey, Corinth, you're under condemnation for this. You guys are guilty. Because that works against waking up to your righteousness. So it's interesting to me that you can wake up to your righteousness and be ashamed of being asleep on your righteousness in the same verse. Here's the context of that other one from 1 Corinthians 6. I want to read from verses 1 through 5. 5 is where the verse is where our phrase, I say this to your shame, appears. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one who'll be able to judge between his brethren? You remember this. This is a spot we stayed on for quite some time where Paul is talking about Christians suing their fellow believers in secular court, standing in front of non-believers, having non-believers judge issues that they ought to have the Holy Spirit in their heart to be able to take care of. And Paul says, I say it to your shame. Again, not to your condemnation, not to your guilt, because he turns right around and says, verse 11, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So look at what you are. This is what's happened to you. You should, knowing what's happened to you, you should be ashamed that you have let this other thing begin to define you. I don't want to go so far as to say we need to have a little shame, but I because I think it can be so misconstrued. I'm already misunderstood a lot, and that's probably my fault as much as anything else. But I'm not saying we should have a certain amount of shame, but I do think that a certain amount of shame in a public setting causes us to watch how we act. I heard someone say something the other day, totally unrelated to the gospel. This was not a minister. They were just talking about something they had seen on the street, and they were just, it was actually a comedian, and they were just commenting on it. And they said, maybe it would help if we had a little shame. And when this person said that, it really kind of piqued my interest, because they were just being funny. But I thought, and actually there's usually a lot of truth in stand-up comedy. It's not as if they're presenting truth as the gospel, but there's usually some sort of underlying piece of information some people either aren't paying attention to or aren't taking seriously. And I just remember when I heard that thinking, man, you know what? There's a lot of truth to that in society that, oh, I'm not going to wear that. I'd be ashamed of myself. So if you said, well, we should take away all shame, well, then maybe you'd wear that. And if you fall on the side of, well, that's fine, you should wear it. Well, okay, I'm not going to argue with you, but I think you know what I mean. There comes a time when you go, well, I'm ashamed to do that. Now, maybe this is semantics. Some person might hear that and say, well, what that person needs is identity, not shame. If they had identity. Yes, but maybe they go hand in hand. Maybe we're ashamed because we have identity, and we're not ashamed when we don't have identity. So if I don't know my worth, maybe I do things that I should be ashamed of because I don't know my worth. Maybe when I know my worth, there are things I wouldn't do because I'd be ashamed to do it, seeing as I know my worth. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think that they go hand in hand. As I know my worth, then I don't want to do things that shame me. When Paul says, wake up to your righteousness and don't sin, some of you do not have the knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame, I don't think he's saying some don't have the knowledge of God, that's what you should be ashamed of, because we already read in 1 Thessalonians that those who don't have the knowledge of God were Gentiles. I think what you should be ashamed of is that you fell asleep on the fact that you're righteous. You didn't know your identity, and because of that, there should be a certain level of shame. All right, I think I've done what I need to do for now with that 34th verse. It took us 4 or 5 days, I know. And we will get into tomorrow. What I want to do is I want to start to lay out what's coming up for the weekend. As of the moment I'm recording this, I don't have a long form Friday ready for you, so we're probably going to go without one this week. Just continue our work in 1 Corinthians. We got a lot of work to do in the 15 chapters. We're digging into the glorious body passage that Paul gives, but we're going to start to kind of lay out what's coming up. I'll do that tomorrow. See you then. God bless.